We come together every week as a church, and I don't know how involved you've been in the American church scene in your life. Some of you, I'm sure, for all of your life. Some of you maybe are new to the American church scene. But one of the things that I see consistently across Americans, the American landscape of churches is, and I say this every now and again, and it's not everywhere, but we are very good as American Christians at preaching and singing, and maybe sometimes some certain denominations are really good at coming together and eating and do that kind of thing a lot. But we like to preach, we like to sing, we're good at preaching, we're good at singing, and you go about your week and you could listen to 57 sermons between today's sermon and next week's sermon of like the 57 best preachers in the country, and you can just consume all this knowledge, all this information. And you can do the same thing with music. You can constantly be tuning into K-Love or FLN, and everywhere you go in your car, you're jamming out. But the one thing that we often forget, whether it's intentional, whether it's vulnerability, whether it's just I'm kind of unsure how to handle this, and sometimes I think it's just also just kind of fear of, well, I can control the sermon, I can control the content, I can control the song, but when I step into prayer, I am now asking the Spirit of God to do some things that I might not be able to explain, that I might not be able to understand. So one of the things that we do a lot of times in the American church is that I think is to our dismay, to our disadvantage, is we oftentimes ignore prayer. And one of the things here at our church, we have things like, we have the prayer wall, we got the prayer card. You can come down here, you can pray anytime throughout the week. You want to show up and say, hey, God, can you turn the lights on in the sanctuary? I want to pray at the altar. Come on in, it's all yours. You're welcome to do that. But what I want to do today, before I get into the message, is I always like to pray before my message, because it's kind of my way of saying, hey, God, I don't really want this. I want you to take over this, and I hope you appreciate that. So what I want to do today before I do that is I want to invite you to pray. So we're going to take a minute or so of just a time where I just want you to close your eyes and bow your heads and pray. I don't know where it's at, but somewhere in this Bible, there's got to say close your eyes when you pray. I don't know where it's at. But many people have probably hit the guardrail because they think they have to while they're driving and praying. So what I would like you to do is I'd like you to take a moment and consider a need or a praise, be it in your life or someone else's life. You know, we have the prayer wall back there that I mentioned, and we right across the bottom, it says on there that we erase the prayer wall at the beginning of every month, and we haven't erased it yet this month, and we erase it just kind of to keep it fresh, and we encourage you guys to kind of monitor your own. If you put a prayer request on there and then it's answered, you can erase it, or put a praise on there for a while and erase it, or update things. But one of the reasons it's still on there today is because it's fuller, I think, than it's been in a long time, and part of that is there's a lot of good things happening in the life of our church, and part of that is because I think this week I got contacted more this week than I have in any recent week of needs in our congregation, of people that were in the hospital, people were sick, or people just having trouble, or people struggling with depression, or things that just kind of have crept into their life. So I leave that up there because it shows that we are calling on the name of the Lord. And from the get-go, all the way back in Genesis, whenever Seth was born, it says that was when people began to call on the name of the Lord. So from that point forward, we have been a people of prayer, and we are called to be a people of prayer. So I want you to take a minute and just close your eyes and bow your heads and pray for whatever it is that the Holy Spirit puts on your heart. Just close your eyes, no looking around, no pressure. Do what you want to do. If you're not in a place where you feel where you're ready to pray or can pray, then just close your heads and be silent. And in a minute or so, I'm just going to go ahead and pray myself, and then we'll proceed into the message. Father God, all the way through your word, you are constantly beckoning us to be a people of prayer, to be a people who take advantage of or tap into the access that we have to call on your name in faith in the name of your Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. So God, as we lift up the needs in this room, the needs of friends and family that aren't in this room, the needs that are on the prayer wall, or the praises for just 3 square meals for another day. God, we give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise, and we say thank you. We say thank you. We're not to be a people of all about me or a people of all about fame, but we're to be a people of humbly coming before you in prayer and trusting you to take care of us. So God, now as we continue forward where 2 or more are gathered in your name, we believe that you are here. We believe that you will guide us. We believe that you are making Christians, and our job is to make these Christians and guide these Christians in their discipleship of you as we make and guide fully devoted followers of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, and we ask that you will be present here as we worship and we dive into your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, thank you. You know, the title of today's sermon is the Prayer of Spiritual Growth that you see there on the back of your bulletin if you grabbed one of those on the way in. Prayer is one of those things that is daunting. Prayer is one of those things that we don't always know how to handle. I mentioned we kind of sometimes avoid it, and we're like, well, I can be a Christian and not pray, or I can just pray once in a while. And I think part of what's behind that is prayer can be a little bit scary. Prayer can be scary. Prayer can be hard until you get going, you know? Have you ever been in that situation where you don't know what to say, and then you kind of get going, and next thing you know, you're just rattling and rattling and rattling, and you're like, I didn't know I felt that way. I didn't know I needed to get that out, but it came out. That's the Holy Spirit giving you what to pray and giving you the momentum. But you know, prayer for me has been a battle. I think back throughout my life and growing up, going to church and going to youth group and going to conferences and going to doing some mission stuff. One of the things that's consistent that I have found is they always include this. When you go to these events, they always kind of toss in the devotional time. You know, we always heard, okay, you got to do your devotions. But when you go on these week-long trips and stuff, they kind of build it in and say, here's what you have to do. When I was working for youth groups or for youth works, One of the things we did as the mission teams, these kids would come every morning. We would have built into our morning schedule, we would have a time of devotion, and we would have one of the leaders would give a very brief lesson, like 5 minutes and under, very brief lesson. Maybe some groups would share a song, and then everybody would break out with their books and they would spend time with this provided devotional book that would guide them a little bit in prayer. And so for about 15 or 20 minutes, we would ask all the kids to go off and to spend some time in prayer, be it prayer for the day or prayer for the topic in the devotion. And I don't know about you, maybe I'm different, but I think most of the time, the older I get, the more I realize I'm just the same, that I'm ordinary to a fault. But I would get, and I would get down on my knees and I would try to pray. And my prayer would just be kind of like, "Dear God, thank you for the Bible. You know, thanks for Jesus. The cross thing was, yeah, thank you. And I hope I have a good day. Bless my friends. Thanks for the food." And you kind of bounce your way through it and you struggle. And then I have the same problem sometimes. I pray with my wife and whenever I pray with my son. And we try to pray before he goes to bed. But it's kind of like, okay, do I want it to sound the same every time? What do I say? What does this look like? Is it okay that it sounds the same? What's really going on here? And so you either have nothing and you just sit there with God in a moment of silence, which can be a good thing if you're listening, but it's just kind of, and then the other thing is maybe a distraction. You're like, okay, I'm just going to sit down quietly. I'm going to go sit in a hunting stand for an hour and I'm just going to put my head down and I'm just going to enjoy nature and I'm going to pray. 3 hours later, you look around and you're like, "I thought about everything except for God." See, I am the same as everybody else. It's empty. It's distracted. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. So when we pray, that's what's cool about what God offers us. God offers us some patterns of prayer throughout Scripture. The most popular pattern of prayer, of course, is the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus' disciples ask him how to pray, and he kind of walks them through a template. And there are a lot of churches and a lot of Christians just say, "Well, this is the only prayer I need." But no, it's a template. It's not the only prayer that you need. It's the Lord's Prayer. It's to guide you. And then in John 16:24, we're told to ask anything in Jesus' name, and he will give it to you and your joy will be made full. So there's some pattern of, okay, everything I pray for, I'm gonna ask it according to God's will as best I can, and then I'm going to ask for it in Jesus' name. And the result of that, Jesus doesn't say it's going to happen. He says your joy is going to be made full, because there are some caveats there of asking it according to God's will. And we're gonna get there here in a minute. But there are some powerful pictures of prayer in the Bible. So one of the things that I've found in those moments where I don't know what to pray, or I come down here in the middle of the week and I'm like, okay, I'm a pastor, I should pray. So here's what I'm going to do. So I come down and I'll pray the prayer wall, or I'll pray through my prayer list for some needs that have come up. And then I'll maybe just open up to Psalms and say, okay, so this prayer worked for David, I bet it'll work for me. So you kind of pray through the Scripture, and there's power in those prayers while you're asking the what do I pray, how do I pray. So I want to encourage you today to pray Scripture. To pray Scripture. And here's why, and we're going to get into this, and here's why I want you to pray Scripture. Because we learn throughout Scripture, we learn in the book of James, that we are to pray according to God's will and he will grant it to us. So we look at that and we're like, okay, so God's going to hook me up if I pray for exactly what he's already going to give me. That's how we kind of write that off. Like, I don't need to pray because God's going to give me this, and he's only going to answer my prayer if I ask him for exactly what I need. But here's the thing. God does change his mind sometimes when we ask. There are examples of that throughout the Old Testament of men like Moses having conversations with God and praying to God and God granting him his request. But when you read the Bible, as a Christian, you will find God's will for your life as a Christian. God's will for your life as a Christian. God's will for how you grow as a Christian. So when you pray the Bible, when God says, I want this for you as a Christian, and you pray for that, you don't have to wonder if it's God's will because it's right there. It's God saying, I want this for you. I want this for your life. So we ask God for what he wants for our life. So the passage that we're going to look at today is in Colossians. As like I've been saying, we've been going through the book of Colossians, and we're in our fourth week in the book of Colossians, and we are right around halfway through chapter 1, which is pretty good because I was listening to this other pastor the other day who did a series on the book of Colossians, and his first two sermons were just on chapter 1. So I did pretty good because this guy did 2 and 1. I just did 1 and 1. But we're taking our time and we're working our way through this and trying to see what God has for us and how we grow spiritually. So what we're about to read is a prayer that Paul offered for the church in Colossae, for the Christians in Colossae, which is the Colossian church, the book of Colossians, and this group of people that were pagans and Gentiles that became Christians, non-Jews that became Christians, but then they have these Gnostics that are coming in and they're telling them, well, you know what, just accumulate knowledge. You know, that's what matters. Just get smarter, get smarter, get smarter. And you know what, the Jesus thing is good, but you know what that really is? That's just the beginning. That's just, you can have the Jesus part, but you need to catapult off of that and you need to just absorb knowledge and absorb wisdom. And the Jesus part's okay, but don't let that be everything. And Paul's writing them this letter and saying, hey, you know what? They're wrong. Jesus is all you need. And we're going to get into that if you go in deeper into chapter 1 where he talks about the preeminence of Christ. But what I want you to see today is that Paul's writing this letter to these Christians that he's never met and he's praying for them. So this prayer that we're going to read is a prayer that I challenge you to pray for yourself and for someone else. And believing that this is God's will for their life as a Christian. And this is God's will for your life as a Christian. And I venture to say that I will go as far as to say that you cannot pray this prayer that Paul offers to the church in Colossae without having your life impacted in some way. And you cannot pray this prayer for somebody else without having their life impacted in some way. So here's the prayer. Colossians 1:9-11 says, and so from the day we heard, so this is Paul saying, we just finished talking about how Paul has heard about their faith from Epaphras saying, hey, listen, these people are following Christ. Hey, listen, their faith and their love and their hope are laid up in heaven in the name of Christ. And so he's saying, from the day that we heard that you guys have rooted your faith, have anchored your faith in Christ, from that moment, we have not ceased to pray for you. We haven't stopped praying for you. We are constantly, in everything that we do, we're walking through our lives and we are lifting your name high. I'm out there nailing in some tents because Paul was a tent maker. I'm out there building tents and I'm thinking, Lord, you got to be with the people in Colossae because they need you. They need your strength. They need to be reminded that you are all that they need. So from the day we heard, we haven't ceased to pray for you. And here's what they're asking. We have been asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, of God's will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. Amen. Colossians 1, 9 through 11. If you brought a paper Bible with you like I carry, you can open up to that passage and just stay there. That's where we're going to hang out today. And if you've got the app thing or the iPad thing, whatever you're doing, just hang out there. And we're going to walk through these on the screen as well. But first, let me give you kind of just a quick understanding, maybe a little bit of a prayer overview of what's going on here. Like I mentioned, if we build out the scene, like I mentioned, in this letter to the Christians in this city, Paul was exposing heresy by people who had valued accumulation of knowledge. That what mattered to these Gnostics in this community that were kind of trying to infiltrate the ranks of the church, they were teaching them, you know, you just need to accumulate knowledge. You just need to increase your wisdom. But Paul wants them to know that knowledge in and of itself is empty. The knowledge, just for the sake of knowledge, isn't going to do anything for you. That absorbing information, just for the sake of absorbing information, is empty. That studying just to study is worthless. And that to be worth anything, when you absorb knowledge, when you accumulate knowledge, for that knowledge to be worth anything, it has to change your life. It has to impact the way that you live. For example, this is something that I think we know as we strive for right living. This is not a new concept to you, right? That I learned something so that I can do something. I learn it differently so I can apply it differently. I mean, maybe I'm a one-horse pony, but usually the easiest thing for me to go to is eating less and exercising. You know, you can get on Amazon and you can probably buy 25,000 unique books on how to eat less and exercise more. And you can study those and you can absorb those. You can memorize those. You can have all the information that you need. You can know everything there is to know about macronutrients. You can know everything there is to know about running and lifting weights, and you absorb all that information and you go home and you do nothing, you're not going to get healthier, you're not going to get skinnier. It's not going to happen. You go home, you sit in front of the TV for the Super Bowl and you're just pounding the nachos and pounding the Pepsi Cola, and you're like, I know so much about how bad this is for me, but I don't really care, it's good, you know? But you know, but you don't do. So without doing the knowledge, without living the knowledge, it's of no value to you. It's of no value to you. I'll give you an example from a movie from back in 2010. Some of you guys will be familiar with this. Some of you probably won't. There's a movie that Denzel Washington and Mila Kunis co-starred in, and it's called The Book of Eli. And The Book of Eli is a post-apocalyptic time period where they're traveling. He's traveling across America, and he's carrying what they refer to in the movie, they refer to this as just the book. This is the Book of Eli, and he had heard the voice of God that told him to take this book that he believes is the last remaining copy of the Bible, and it's a big book, big like the, you know, the real big hardback lock and key King James version from 1611, the real deal. And he's hauling this thing in his backpack across the country while all these other people are trying to find this book. And when they think he has it, then they're trying to steal it from him and kill him. But he's constantly protected by God because God told him from the beginning, hey, this is your mission and I'm going to protect you. And along the way, he makes friends with Mila Kunis, and she wants to go with him, but he says, no, I'm on this journey by myself. And he wouldn't let her see the book. He wouldn't let her touch the book. You know, anything to do with the book, which was the Bible. And at one point, she gets in trouble because he doesn't want her to come, so he locks her in a cellar of some kind. And eventually, guys come in, and they attack her, and he comes back to save her, has a change of heart, comes back to save her, and in the process, they take the book, and he loses the book. But what we come to find out is when that scene, what he says to her as he's been traveling across the country and he's been studying the Bible, he's been memorizing the Bible so that he can get this Bible to a library in California to have it all remade. And he says to her, as she asks him, you know what, why'd you do that? Why'd you let them take that? That book was so important to you. And he says, you know what I realized? I was studying it, I was memorizing it, I was protecting it, but I wasn't doing what it taught me to do. I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do. I wasn't loving people. So God convicted him to go back and get her, to go back and save her. And as the movie concludes, it turns out he had the whole thing memorized anyway, so it worked out, and they put the Bible on the shelf. But knowledge isn't just meant to be accumulated for the sake of accumulation. Knowledge is supposed to be something that changes the way you live your life. If you read the book of Ecclesiastes, the teacher is Solomon, and Solomon gets through all the way through almost to the end of chapter 12. He is almost finished talking about all these things about wisdom and pleasures and everything under the sun is meaningless. And he gets to the very end, the third to last verse. And he says, my child, let me give you just one more piece of advice. Be careful, for the writing of books is endless and too much study wears you out. Point in case, at some point, you got to put the book down and get to work. At some point, you got to put the book down and call on the name of the Lord. It is written to give us direction for living. And Paul wanted the Colossians to be wise. I want you to be wise, but I also want you to put your knowledge to work. God gave us this book, not just to study, and you need to study. I push this hard. You got to get in the Word. But you got to let the Word and let the Spirit change the way you live your life. You've got to put it into action, and you will start to grow spiritually, because knowledge of God isn't some secret that only a few of us can understand, but it's open to everybody. Seek me and you will find me, and you can grow in your faith on this spiritual growth cycle that we have on our bulletin that we're talking about through this passage. That God wants us to learn more and more and more about him, to live a life that is constantly increasing in our knowledge of God, but also our intimacy with God, and also our ability to follow Jesus in a way that changes our life and stands out in the community for his cause. He wants us to learn to love others. So this prayer that Paul offers this church that's being bombarded with all of this information, there's two dimensions in this prayer that I want to show you. And the first thing is a prayer that they might have complete knowledge of God's will and have the spiritual wisdom and understanding. And the second piece is a prayer that their lives would then produce every kind of good fruit as they learn to know God better and better and better and better and keep increasing in how well they know God. So what I want to do for you today is I just want to walk through quickly this prayer that is offered to us by Paul, this powerful prayer that I encourage you to pray for yourself, and I encourage you to pray for other people, because I know there's two different kinds of prayers. Sometimes you get down and you start to pray and think, okay, all right, God, you know what? I need to pray, and you start praying and it's just flowing, and you're like, oh man, I got so much to pray for. And 3.5 hours later, you're like, did I pray for anybody other than myself? You've been there? Or maybe you're the other side and you get down and you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray, and 3.5 hours later you're like, man, I have so many people to pray for. I never thought I myself. It's not selfish to pray for yourself. We got to pray for ourselves and for other people. But I want to encourage you in this prayer to pray this prayer that Paul is outlining for us, for yourself and for somebody else. But these are the things that you should desire as a Christian. The things he's outlining in this passage is about what we desire as a Christian. And the cool thing about this is these are things that God desires for you. So it's not like you're asking for a brand new Ferrari and God's like, sorry, you're not on the Ferrari list, so you don't get the Ferrari. No, you're actually praying for things that God says he wants to give you as a Christian. He wants to see you grow up and increase in his knowledge of his will and increase in your patience and endurance and joy. He don't want you to be the same next year on this date as you are today on this date. But this is a great template to make biblical requests as Paul makes requests. So here's the first thing I want to hit real quick again. Colossians 1:9. We'll just hit these three verses quickly and then wrap up with a challenge and send you guys home in time for the Super Bowl. Colossians 1:9 says, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." So the first thing I want you to see in that is it says, ask God to help them know his will. Or if it's for you, ask God to help you know his will. There's a couple different extremes with knowing God's will. In fact, if you talk to very many people that are trying to figure out what they want to do for their life, I think sometimes it's I don't know if it's an excuse and a procrastination as much as it's like some people get kind of stuck. It's like, well, I just want to know God's will. I just need to know God's very perfect will in this. It's one of the biggest questions that people ask. But let me give you some things that will hopefully release you from that. Because there's a couple different extremes. The one extreme is the person that wakes up in the morning and you stand in your closet and you say, okay, God, what is your will for my tie today? Is it a red tie day? Is it a blue tie day? Really? You're thinking pink with stripes? Are you sure? All right, pink with stripes. God's got a plan for this tie. Or what sneakers do I wear? Or do I brush my teeth with my right hand or my left hand today? What do I do? And it's all these little simple things where we're constantly asking God for these little things. And it's not that God doesn't care about those things. It's that that's not on the top of God's priority list for you. But then the other side of that is the people that just live free and they say, well, God already made a plan for my life. And the Bible says that I make my plans, but it doesn't really matter because he's directing my plans anyway. So what's it really matter? It's God's will. God's will be done. Let's get at it. You know? I'll just grab a tie with the lights off in the closet and see what I'm wearing. Anybody gonna care? God's on board. God already knew I was gonna reach in and get the pink tie, so I didn't need to ask him. Now let me release you from this for a minute because there are specific wills that God has for us. For example, God willed that I would be up here today, that God would be pastoring and that I'd be up here sharing the word with you. And that's a specific thing to me. And he does have specific things for you as you learn to walk and grow with him in intimacy. But a lot of times we stress over that. And let me give you the reason why you should not stress over that is because the will of God is the intent and purpose of God that is revealed in Scripture. The central aspect of the will of God is that his people be faithful and obedient to his word, to his teachings, to his voice, to the Holy Spirit. You want to know the will of God? As you pray for it, crack open Scripture and see what his ways of living are. That's God's will for your life. God's will for your life is that you follow Jesus according to the teachings of Scripture. It's the Great Commission. We make disciples and we teach them to obey all that Jesus has taught. If you can obey everything that Jesus has taught, I don't care if you're on a drilling rig or preaching at crusades with Billy Graham and Franklin Graham, you're in God's will, okay? There's some individual pieces that play into that, but if you're obedient to following what Jesus is teaching, there's no reason to stress about being in God's will. But the prayer here is to ask God to help you know how to follow God's will. The second piece is ask God to give them spiritual wisdom and understanding, to have biblical wisdom. You can just crack open the book of Proverbs and you can study and you're like, wow, 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 do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this. Okay, if I do that, I'm a fool. I guess I've been a fool. I need to work on that. But biblical wisdom and spiritual wisdom are these, the biblical wisdom piece is the practical skills that are associated with understanding and living a successful life as God teaches us. And spiritual wisdom is learning to live in tune with God's voice in prayer. At that point in the prayer where you stop listening, or you stop talking and you start listening. And then you hear the voice of God, and sometimes you hear people that say stuff like this, like, well, God told me to do this, or, you know, I know the Bible says that's a sin, but God told me that that's not a sin anymore. No, that's not from God. Anything that you can that you can put in a box and say, this is spiritual wisdom from God, if it doesn't line up with biblical wisdom from God, it ain't spiritual wisdom from God. I don't know who you're listening to. Maybe you need some Gas X or something, but you need to always take this stuff and relate it to what the Bible says, because if it's not in there, it wasn't from God. So know that you are hearing from God, and the prayer here is ask God for spiritual wisdom and understanding. Colossians 1:10, the next verse. So now that you've done that, here's the reason why we're asking you to do this. If you want to know why we want you to know God's will, if you want to know why we want you to have spiritual understanding and wisdom, here's the reason. It is not just so that you know it. Not just that, oh, God's calling me to do this. Hey, that looks pretty. I'm going to go over here anyway. Good idea, God, but I got things to do. But no, it's so that you walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, and bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in your knowledge of God. Ask God to help you. Ask God to help the other person on your heart to live to honor and please him. And we can do that by studying scripture, by growing in our prayer, growing in our biblical wisdom, growing in our spiritual wisdom, growing in our understanding of God, growing in our understanding of what it looks like for me to be an obedient Christian in response to faith. And therefore, my life is now honoring and pleasing him, because I don't just know how to do it, but I do it. And I'm going to now, when I walk around Punxsutawney with a label on that says, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and then the little tiny label underneath that's far less important that says, I'm a member of One Life Church, I am actually representing Christ in a way that is worthy of the Lord. And that is so important that we honor and please him. And then also ask God to give them more knowledge of himself, so they are constantly increasing in your knowledge of God, constantly understanding him more, constantly being able to pull more scriptures out in situations and say, okay, I know I'm good. I know I have assurance of salvation because, hey, let me show you what this passage says. Let me show you what this scripture says. Why do you do that? Why do you live like that? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do this? Why don't you live like this? Oh, let me show you what my God said. Let me show you what my Lord said. Let me show you what Jesus meant when he told me to follow him like this. More knowledge of himself. And Colossians 1:11 says, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. I love this. Ask God to give strength to yourself or to the other person with power, with the power of God, all the power that God can give you, that God is willing to give you, according to his glorious might, for endurance and joyful patience. So that when something comes up, when you get sick or someone in your family gets sick or you lose your job or everything is coming in on you, like the whole world's kind of coming unscrewed and you don't know what's going to happen, the people praying for you or you praying for this on yourself is saying, you know what? I need strength. I need power. I need endurance. I can get through this. I can be patient with joy. It's hard to endure and be patient and be joyful, isn't it? But imagine being in a place or laying in a hospital bed and giving and receiving so much strength and so much power from God that you can be filled with joy. I don't want to be here. I would never choose this. But I'm joyful and I'm praising my Savior through this anyway. That is miraculous. So here's what I offer to you today. How many people could be touched or have their life changed if you prayed this way? How much different would your life be if you prayed this way? What you have on your bulletin there is the cycle of prayer. Based on these scriptures is a spiritual cycle of growth that if you'll notice, this cycle never ends. You start at the top, and it starts at noon, it's a little bit kind of like one or two, and you follow that down around, and you walk through what it looks like to be a person of spiritual growth. What are the things that we're praying for? We pray for the knowledge of what God has willed. We pray for wisdom and understanding. We pray to live a life worthy of the Lord. We pray that we are bearing fruit in every good work, and we pray that we have an increasing knowledge of God. And then we do it again and again and again. We are a people who like tasks and completion. I want to know, give me the 10 steps. I'm going to be a 10-stepper. When I get through these 10 steps, I'm done. I'm going to get online. I'm going to go, okay, I need the steps towards spiritual growth. And I get to the bottom of the list and say, all right, I'm good. I did that. And then 30 years from now, you're sitting in a Bible study and you're still the same. And whoever's teaching the Bible study says, we got to talk about spiritual growth. And you say, I did that 30 years ago. I'm done. No, it's ongoing. It's increasing. It's a lifestyle. It's over and over and over again to the point where we study his word and we learn more and more and more because God's word is deep and it is wide and you cannot mine it to completion. You will only find out that you know less and there is more and more and more waiting for you to discover. And there is more and more life to be lived in a way that is worthy of God. So here's what I want you to do in closing today. You'll notice in the center of that circle is nothing. It's a blank space. So this is really easy. The first one's really easy. The second one might take a little bit of prayer, but I want you to do this by the end of the day. In the center of that circle, with the pen that's in the seat back in front of you, that you always wonder, why does George put those there? That's why he puts them there. So you can write stuff. I want you to write in the center of that circle your name. Your name. And then when you're done writing your name, if you're ready, I want you to write another name. Just one more name. One more name of a person in your life that you want to lift up in this way. That you want to pray this prayer for. The only caveat I want to attach to this, and you can probably argue with me on this if you wanted to, but I want that person to be a believer. This isn't about praying for someone to come to salvation. This is about praying someone who has come to salvation to become a more fully devoted follower of Christ and to grow and increase in their faith and grow in spiritually depth. So before you go to bed tonight, I want you to write another name there. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray 1 Colossians 1, 9 through 11. And I want you to pray that for yourself first and for that other person second. And I want you to know this. Don't let, when you try to do this, don't let the devil come in and say it's worthless. Don't let the devil come in and say, ain't nobody gonna answer that prayer. God doesn't listen to that prayer. You're praying for yourself. Why would you pray for yourself? You're so selfish. Don't pray for yourself. Come on, man. Or don't pray for them. Are you sure they're a Christian? I don't think they really care. No, I don't know. Don't let the devil come in and say that. And the other thing I don't want the devil to come in and say, I don't want you to be like, all right, I can't do this until I memorize it. Because you're going to sit down and you're going to open the Bible and you're going to try to read it, but you're going to try to close your eyes because like I said, you're supposed to apparently close your eyes. So you're closing your eyes while you're praying and trying to read. So you're like blinking every other word, trying to get the word, and you're praying all this as you think about the other person, lifting their name up to God. Now that's the devil. That's the devil trying to tell you you're not doing it right or you're not doing it good enough. No, open your Bible to Colossians 1, 9 through 11. Keep your eyes open and read through it and insert your name the first time and say, I pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And then do it again with the name of the other person. And don't worry so much. So you simply just say, Lord, I pray that Guy will be filled with the knowledge of his will and all of your will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And I pray that he will walk in a manner that is worthy of the Lord, that his life is fully pleasing to you, that he is bearing fruit in every good work, and he is increasing in the knowledge of God, and that he is being strengthened with all power according to your glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. Your name, and then their name. You can probably handle your pronouns a little better than I do, but you'll get it. So that's my prayer for you as we go today. So please bow your heads and join me in a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the power of praying your word in faith, and that combination just multiplies the effects, that we are praying your will in Jesus' name exactly as you have revealed it to us. So thank you, Jesus. I pray right now for every person in this room, Lord, I ask that you will fill them with the knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I pray that every person in this room will walk in a manner that is worthy of your name, that they will walk in a manner that is fully pleasing to you, that they are constantly bearing fruit in every good work, and they are constantly, day after day, on this spiritual growth cycle, they are increasing in their knowledge of who you are, and that they are being strengthened with all power according to your glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, being thankful for the inheritance that they share with all the believers. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.